The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Bill Myers.
Good morning. It's Find Your Phone Friday, 12 minutes after 6. Join the conversation and get it started if you wanted to. It's 770-5633. 770-KMED. We have the Facebook Live camera back up. So I'm in my usual state of not beautiful, but hey, I'm there. And if you wanted to watch that, got that camera all figured out. And yep, it was the app. Every time the camera maker says, we're going to update the app to make it better and fix bugs, they always create a bug on Facebook. I don't know why. Happens every time. But anyway, it's great to have you listening one way or the other. Tomorrow, by the way, is going to be the Patriots Conference, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there. We talk about that off and on. We have a pair of $100 apiece VIP tickets. We're going to give those away a little bit later in the show around 8:30, I think is when we're going to give that away. And it's my final pair of the coveted golden tickets, so to speak, for tomorrow's event. There'll be a lot of people there, including Trevor Loudon. Kevin Starr is going to be speaking. A bunch of candidates will be speaking. And Don Powers. I talked with Don Powers the other day. And he is with the Oregon Republican Party. He is an alternate, I think, for Congressional District 6, if I recall what he's doing. But hardcore on the border, man. He was down there checking out the human trafficking. And when he's talking about the human trafficking, a lot of the sex trafficking coming in through the smutty and open sieve border, and he'll be giving a talk at tomorrow's Patriot Conference too. And what do we got going on here? As far as we got a lot of headlines to cover here in just a moment, but people are calling. They're probably they just woke up and they took a hit of Mad Dog 2020, and I don't know if Don Thumler did that or not. Hey Don, how you doing this morning? Welcome to the show.
Wasn't me, no.
Wasn't
no,
you? Okay, all right. Good.
I encourage all the patriots out there, because I thought all the patriots were dead, because we want to be patriotic now. But,
today, really, the definition of a patriot today, Don, I think it's trying to protect the people from its government, I think is where we are, at the moment. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, that's me. I'm a patriot then.
There you go.
Look, you see, there was this event called the Gulf of Tonkin, but effectively locked us into war in Vietnam.
Yep, you're right. Gulf of Tonkin resolution. Everybody lined up and did the amen chorus, and off we went, right?
And now no one's left alive that knows really what happened. And you were just a child at that time. And look, today we're poking a bear because we have U.S. military weapons, with U.S. personnel being used in Odessa. Mm-hmm. And who knew that Odessa was part of Ukraine? I mean, that was always a surprise to me, because it was always a city that was ideologically challenged.
Okay, well, let me just ask you, just to cut to the chase here, given there's a limitation on time, is there, are you then figuring that we're going to see a Gulf of Tonkin kind of false flaggy sort of thing? Because what got us into the Vietnam War was pretty much a false flaggy thing too, wasn't it?
Well, because the news is so much flotsam and jetsam that we now get a bit of news about U.S. forces personnel being used in Odessa.
Yeah, they're already there. And, isn't that interesting?
And that's why. No, it's not interesting. It's scary.
Well, yeah, but it's almost like you're hanging out people that really probably shouldn't be there, because there's been no war declared by Congress that I'm aware of. Are you aware of that?
They can't use NATO equipment, NATO services, because the NATO right nations right around Ukraine have stayed out of NATO, because NATO's the hot box, the hot button item that you must not push.
Well, but what you need though is a tripwire, right? That's what the system wants right now. They want a tripwire.
So you have a political genius in the White House who knows how to keep us out of war. and the up-and-coming Donald Trump, who said, if I had been president, there would be no Ukrainian issue now. No problem with Taiwan. You would not have issues at the border at all.
Well, stolen elections do have consequences, Don. I appreciate your call, and I wish you well. Thank you. 770-5633, 17 after 6. Line 2, let's find out who else is there and what they want to talk about. Good morning. Hello.
Yeah, this is James in Selma.
Hey, James. What's on your mind today in Selma?
Oh,
I was watching the protest there in Columbia University, and they got the signs there, the yellow signs, "Free Palestine." Mm-hmm. If you look underneath, it says, "Workers of the World Party," and which is the Marxist-Leninist Communist Party.
And don't kid yourself, James. It's the Democratic Party too. Okay. Remember, these are the same groups that say that they will not run presidential candidates because the Democratic Party fulfills their need. So they may call themselves a different. Just don't fool yourself. Just the Democrats. Okay.
No, but a lot of the teachers, and they're provoking these kids, which they're brainwashing them. Plus, it's the same people that were with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. They're starting the little revolution.
Yeah, agreed. But it would be unwise to defund state institutions, right? We should keep sending money to the colleges, right?
But why doesn't any of the news organizations bring out the fact that it's the workers of the World Party?
Because they agree with them.
Backing it.
Yeah, because they agree with them, James. Come on. Come on, man. They agree. Normally, for the most part, and I'm sorry, I thought it was kind of self-evident, but hey, God love you. God love you, yep. James. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the call. 770-5633. Here's something I would really love to get your opinion on. All right. I'm watching KOBI News last night, and they ended up doing the story on an SOU Native American studies professor who is now being accused of ethnic fraud. And it's she's being accused of ethnic fraud by the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds. Professor Michelle Pavilionis is a member of the Lenape tribe. This according to an article on the SOU's website. This from KOBI5, okay? But the Tribal Alliance Against Fraud believes that Pavilionis has no American heritage in her family. Now, I went to that website, you know, to the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds there, and this is a big deal to them, all right? Someone claims that they are Native American, and you're doing an American studies course, Native American studies and all this sort. We want to make sure. And so they had the family tree of Pavilionis, and there didn't appear to be anyone other than non-Native Americans, at least according to them. Now, the professor is not going to comment on this one. They're not going to say anything. There's going to be an investigation, and Southern Oregon University is going to wring its hands and all this and that and the other. The question I would have for you is, should we care? Should we care if we have someone who is not Native American claiming to be Native American? Now, I know the tribal people get all upset about this. Remember, it's Tribal Alliance Against Fraud. And they don't want ethnic fraud being committed. Well, if you're going to say we don't want ethnic fraud to be committed, how about everything else Southern Oregon University is all about enforcing gender fraud, right? Gender fraud. Now, Tribal Against Alliance Against the Frauds, they're going out there and they're going through her family history and all the rest. Oh, she's not Native American. Well, guess what? If she was a trans woman, in other words, a man masquerading as a guy, they'd be sitting around there, oh, she's a woman. She's a woman. You should believe all women. Believe all women. So what's the difference here? If we're forced to genuflect, especially when you get into June. Oh, my goodness, when we get into June. Got to genuflect to the island, to the island of misfit humans for an entire month. And we're supposed to embrace gender fraud. Isn't that what SOU is all about? Selling the frauds? And not just SOU. I'm talking about the Oregon University system as a whole. The entire academy is all in on this right now about enforcing gender fraud. But we're supposed to get really excited if there's Native American ethnic fraud. I know. I'm having trouble working up a head of sympathy. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the wrong guy on this one. 770-5633. Should we be upset if someone claims to be a Native American and it's a fraud? Now, in a sane world, maybe so, but it's not a sane world. But maybe with the Native Americans getting really upset about ethnic fraud, maybe there could be pushback on gender fraud and the other academic frauds which are being forced upon the culture that people are resisting and starting to resist even more now. What do you think? 770-5633. Thought at least toss it out to you. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Service is the difference with Sweetwater Sanitation, your experts for sanitation services and portable restrooms. From pumping septic tanks, grease traps, even holding tanks, Sweetwater Sanitation brings 20 years and two generations of experience. And as a DEQ-certified maintenance provider, Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, and repair your septic tank, which should be pumped every 3 to 5 years. Call 541-821-1426 and visit swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, where service is the difference.
Jackson County, your vote counts. This May 21st primary election includes Democratic and Republican nomination of candidates, along with any nonpartisan candidates and measures. If you're registered with a minor political party, have listed other as your party selection, or have not registered with any political party, you'll receive a ballot with nonpartisan candidates and measures. Visit OregonVotes.gov to register to vote online. You can also mail your form to Jackson County Elections, 1101 West Main Street, Suite 201 in Medford, Oregon. Check and update your registration at OregonVotes.gov/myvote. The last day to register or change your political party affiliation is Tuesday, April 30th.
Hello, I'm Chris Walker, your Jackson County Clerk. For more information, visit jacksoncountyor.gov/elections.
Your county clerk's office, making sure your vote counts.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your one-stop accessory and protection shop, offering quality products like Lydex spray-on bedliners, undercoating, and truck, Jeep, and SUV accessories. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is now your premier source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products. So what are you waiting for? Stop on by and get prepared for your next adventure. They're located at 4840 Airway Drive, just off Vilas Road in Central Point. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Your department of adventure.
Hi, I'm Corey with Patriot Electric, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
By the way, if you're calling the show at 770-5633, leave your caller ID on. If you block it, I won't see you because the system will hang up on you. Just want to let you know, it's the anti-troll. Hey, everybody, I just have to know who everybody is. That's all. That's my call screener. Just kind of having an idea on who knows and who knows what. And I happen to know that this is Anne the Horse Lady. Good morning, darling. How are you doing?
I am doing fine, Bill.
What you thinking?
You know, these young people keep pushing, we're going to have another Kent State. There's a lot of people that aren't old enough to know about it, but there was some killing, and oh my goodness, there was a flap like you can't believe.
I remember it well. I was just a kid when that happened. I think you may have been a little older than me, maybe, at the time.
Oh, honey, I got one foot in the grave.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound pretty sprightly for someone with one foot in the grave, Ann. Really
oh,
do.
Oh, my goodness, I'm pushing 81.
Oh, my gosh. You sound amazing for 81. That's great. You know, it's not that. I'd be like Bill Handel, who, of course, is about as old, that old now, right? Which is just, I'm surprised you're not talking like this, Anne. How you know?
All right. I'm just old. But these kids keep pushing. There's going to be a slip. Hmm. Because that's what it was with Kent State. They pushed so hard. Somebody in authority slipped. And
remember when they were going after the National Guard? The kids going after National Guard, right? And then someone fires.
Somebody's going to crack, and it's going to not be pretty when it happens.
This is why, you know, if you have kids in the schools and things like that, it's a good idea to stay away from crowds in this current everybody wound very tightly kind of moment. Would that be a fair thing to do? Just a suggestion for him.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. I remember that coverage when I was a kid. And thank you very much for not being in the grave, okay? All right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, David in Phoenix, also not in the grave. Hello, David.
Good morning, Bill. You pushed my button this morning with the Native American thing.
Okay, yeah, just so if people don't know what we're talking about, and they've just joined, okay? KOBI reporting yesterday. We have an SOU Native American Studies professor, Michelle Pavlionis, who claims to be a member of the Lenape tribe, and they're being accused by the Tribal Against Alliance Against Frauds of not being Native American, and they put on their website her family tree. And she doesn't appear to be a Native American, according to what they're claiming. All right. And so, and everyone's getting all hot and bothered about it. It's going to be an investigation. Southern Oregon University wringing its hands about this. But wait a minute. You know, okay, tribal fraud, you know, ethnic fraud is what they're calling it. The university system is all about gender fraud every day. So why should we care? Let's hear about it. What are you thinking, David?
Well, I got to tell you something. You're going to get some calls after this, and I won't use a naughty word at all. I promise I'll be good.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Since 1919, the Woodrow Wilson administration, all persons, not the Alaska corporations, and we're not talking about Hawaii because they came under different rules, mm-hmm. how they were done. But I'm talking about Maine to California, Washington to Florida, Minnesota to Louisiana, and Oregon to Virginia. I'm talking about the contiguous 48 states. All persons of pre-Columbian ancestry, so they had relatives here before Columbus landed, mm-hmm. were given U.S. citizenship. So number one, they're all U.S. citizens, Yankee Doodle Dandies, just like you and I am. That's number one.
Okay, yeah, that's not a surprise, though. It's true.
And number two, my ancestors were Romans. I don't run around in a kilt with a gladius stabbing people, okay? I don't do that, even though it's cultural appropriation. I don't do that, okay?
Okay.
I call these people out every time I get a chance to meet with one of them. You're not an Indian. Your ancestors were Indians. You're wearing Nike shoes. You got an iPhone. You eat at McDonald's. You haven't had gopher or jackrabbit in your entire life, you know, but all of a sudden you're an Indian. And then the pidgin English, where you'll talk to somebody who comes to visit and they're talking just like you and I. And then when the time comes, it's chief, whoever gets up there and goes, hey, and bangs the drum. And then uh-huh. says, we welcome you to this, our land. You are welcome here, you know. And then I go to the library and I get the indigeneity. Oh, this is the land of the Wikis and the Wikis and the Wakis and the Hookies, okay? You know, right? Well, guess what? Go through all of human history, Go to Ireland. They're not like when Roman didn't really conquer Ireland. But go to Scotland and see places where the Romans were. Or go to England, okay? You're not a Roman. And I really call these Indians out. I think it's political. I think, the one thing that they did do right when they got sovereignty, they didn't go plant trees on the reservations and make them environmental wonderful places, because I spent a lot of time as a kid on reservations. I'm from Idaho. Anyways, they went back to their ancient culture and their great God and their ancient traditions of casino. So I really have a real problem with these people saying, I'm in India. No, you're not. Please.
Well, yeah, the reason why it's important, though, is that, and I understand why the tribes get hot and bothered about it, because when it comes right down to it, people are getting positions because of that native ancestry, because they're ticking boxes within the academic system. And so, and yet, on the other hand, there's a part of me these days, David, I would like to be able to have us all petition the tribes to join the tribes so that we could, so we can all become, sovereigns on their native land. I really like to do that. Wouldn't that be cool to be able to do that and then say, hey, IRS, can't mess with me, or, you know, do something else, kind of, you know, lock ourselves up. We just lock ourselves up in the casino. What do you think?
No, I think it's a bunch of hooey myself.
You
I don't believe you. You're not an Indian. Please don't tell me you're an Indian.
Well, now, if you're talking about practicing every day, but that's not the point. It's about your ancestry. It's just like, it's just like I have Slovak, I have Polish in me, I've got German in me, and I understand there's Irish in there too, which must be the drunk side of my family. And it's all in there, right?
So do I get to go to Rome and walk around and say, hey, man, this is my land. You better bow down to me. This is my ancestors were here before Alaric and the Frank came to town.
All right. All right, David. Point well made. Thank you very much.
All right.
And I appreciate you. Make me laugh, too, on top of that. So, in other words, David doesn't think that we should be caring about the ethnic fraud. But maybe what we could do is leverage the claims of ethnic fraud and then push back against the gender fraud that the the administrators, the all the educators with doctor next to their name. It's always interesting. I think education degrees or the education doctorates, I think they love to say doctor more than any of the other doctors, even more than maybe medical doctors. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, we'll continue that conversation. But to push back against the gender fraud, if Southern Oregon University could be half as worried about gender fraud, and of course the dude in the dress with hairy armpits and a hairy face and everything, of course you should be in the female locker room every day. That's inclusiveness. And this is the Bill Meyer Show. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Hi, this is Paul at Valley Nursery. It's time to get your garden on and mend those garden beds with Bumper Crop Soil Builder. Buy three, get the fourth one free. Also, celebrate Arbor Week and plant a tree. We have thousands of trees now 30% off through Sunday, April 28th. For color and choice you won't see anywhere else in spring promotions, go to valleyviewnursery.com. Google Map Valley of Nursery and find us closer than you think.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. An SOU Native American Studies professor is being accused of ethnic fraud by the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds. Professor Michelle Pavilionis is a member of the Lenape tribe, according to an article on SOU's website. The Tribal Alliance Against Frauds believes Pavilionis has no Native American heritage in her family. We reached out to Pavilionis about the investigation. She responded, saying she does not want to comment. Then the Oregon Public Utility Commission is hosting a virtual event for public comment on Pacific Power's proposal to increase rates. Pacific Power, which provides electric services to more than 600,000 Oregonians, filed a request to increase monthly bills by more than $18. That's a more than $300 million revenue for Pacific Power. The virtual meeting will be Tuesday evening from 6 to 7. A link to that Zoom meeting is available on our website, kobi5.com. And the long-awaited Rogue Valley Bike Swap is finally coasting into town Saturday. You can buy, sell, or donate. Plus, you can register your bike with local police in case of theft. And here's the nicest part. A portion of each sale goes toward youth bike education in the Rogue Valley. The bike swap will be at the Grove in Ashland. Stop by anytime between 12 and 2:30. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna.
6:35. Just heard on the news earlier this morning, I'm sure we'll talk with Rick about that on the D.C. Swamp Update shortly, about the raging inflation. Inflation not cooling. I'm sure the markets will not be happy about this because they're looking for the financial heroine. Meanwhile, yeah, even then they're saying it's like 3.6% price hikes in the year. Just the insurance coming in right now is 15 to 20, sometimes 25%, or sometimes they're just even canceling your coverage. What do you do about that? You got to get in touch with Steve Yancey. Steve Yancey is my friend over at Sky Park Insurance, and he's an independent insurance agent who is able to pair you up with just dozens of companies. I don't know if it's dozens, but it's many more. He doesn't just have one, and that's the beauty of being an independent. You call him at 261-5444, and you give him your information, and then he starts working on a quote, and he just gets you back, hey, this is what I can do with this company and that company. And if you already have the best deal, he'll let you know that. So one way or the other, you ended up talking to a trusted person and getting the best deal possible. And either way, Steve's a good guy to know there. And we also have Lynn Barton, who is now working there on the side of helping you with Medicare insurance plans, okay? SkyparkINS.com. Get your quote today, 541-261-5444.
At Skypark, we make insurance easy. Are you craving a tasty and satisfying lunch option? Look no further. Artisan Bakery Cafe is offering fresh salad wraps. Now you can turn any of their delicious salads, whether it's our fresh house salad, classic Caesar salad, or flavorful cranberry almond feta, into a scrumptious wrap. And that's not all. You can customize it with your choice of turkey, ham, roast beef, or chicken salad for that extra protein punch. Stop by today and enjoy indoor-outdoor seating across from Fred Meyer at 1325 Center Drive in Medford. That's Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Since 1979, Dusty's Transmissions has been your go-to transmission experts, proudly serving our region for over 40 years. This family-owned, award-winning business has grown to become the largest specialized transmission and gear train shop from Portland to Sacramento. With 10 lifts and a custom remanufacturing facility, they're equipped to get you back on the road quickly. Dusty's Transmissions keeps inventory stocked, minimizing downtime and saving you money. Trust the experts at Dusty's, 250 North Front Street, Central Point.
Dusty's Transmission. You'll always find me hanging around there.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see.
Yeah, his mama said, stay away from D.C., Rick, but he couldn't help it. It was the siren song of public service, or I don't know, maybe just like banging your head against a wall over at, as president of the Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Welcome back to the show, Rick. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. Having fun.
Okay.
I'll tell you the absolute reason I came to D.C.
Why is that?
I had an opportunity offered to me by the National Rifle Association to fight for Second Amendment rights, and they were going to pay me. And I said, I've got two other opportunities in California. Talked to my wife and said, you know, if we're going to fight this battle for freedom, kind of have to be in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so we loaded up the car and we drove across country, and you know, that was a long time ago. So, and truthfully, I'm glad I did it. So it's we won a lot of battles there at NRA, and some of them, even to this day, we'll all see some reference to them in the paper. Where some local government in the South is frustrated because they can't ban guns because of something I did 40 years ago. So all in all, you know, when you see that, you go, well, I guess it was worth it.
Yeah. Speaking of the NRA, the NRA has, would it be fair to say that the NRA has essentially been gutted, and it doesn't seem to be having a whole lot of influence these days? And, you know, all the problems with Wayne, they didn't get rid of Wayne LaPierre, and there was just a culture of dealing, of insider dealing going on there in the very end there. And can that change, or is it pretty much a done situation there?
The NRA's strength has always been its members, mm-hmm. and, you know, they still have between 4 and 5 million members. They are in the middle of they're still in a battle with the New York Attorney General. They've got a Supreme Court case where the New York Attorney General coerced credit card companies and others to not do business with the NRA.
Yep, doing financial warfare, yeah, against them, sure.
And so, which cut a significant amount of revenues from the organization. And, you know, so they are, you know, they have been quieter than they've been in the past. But that doesn't, you know, I think sometimes you have to be quiet to rebuild and to reload, and that's in a figurative, not a literal term. And so I wouldn't dismiss them so rapidly. In terms of Wayne, I know there's a lot of stuff. Wayne's personality was not to deal the details, okay? So if there were details that weren't being dealt with, everybody in the NRA for the last 40 years knew that they need to have somebody in there to deal with the details, because that wasn't what Wayne did. And so now Wayne's in trouble, got in trouble because he didn't deal with the details. That's, quite honestly, I've got a lot of friends on the board of directors of the National Rifle Association, but that's a failure of the board of directors to put the right team in place, because Wayne is a brilliant strategist. He is, he's unafraid to fight, but don't ask him to do the books. Don't ask him to, you know, have somebody do his expense report for him, you know, those kinds of things, because that's not what he's good at. And I knew that 35 years ago. and when he was a federal affairs director and I was a lowly state lobbyist. Okay, I got a whole program approved to fight the Volcker-McClure bill in 87, approved by Wayne. He didn't even know he approved it. He told me, I laid it out to him. He says, oh, sure, sounds good to me. And I went and did it. And then I realized, like, 2 months later that he didn't realize it was happening.
So he's a big picture guy, but no details. He's a big picture
right.
guy.
And,
okay.
And everybody knows that. And so the fact of the matter is, trying to, hang him out to dry for, being who he was and the strengths that he had. And I'm going to tell you that Wayne LaPierre, in my opinion, is the most significant. And I have no reason to love Wayne or not love Wayne. Okay. I haven't talked to the guy in 20 years. But he is the most significant civil rights figure in the last 50 years. By far.
Coming from you, that means something. That means something to me. And I appreciate that insider's look of it. And like I said, you haven't been around him for 20 years, but still, you remember what was. The interesting thing about it, you talk about him being, he's a big picture guy, not into the details. Isn't that one of the challenges that former President Trump had in his in his administration? Same kind of thing. Big picture guy, big theme, that sort of thing. Big idea, but oh my goodness, you get hung up on the details, right?
Yeah, you need, if you're a big picture guy, you need implementers. You need people who are then executors who are working underneath you. When Wayne LaPierre had Jim Baker running ILA, Institute for Legislative Action, he had the exact right team, somebody he trusted to do the mechanics while he set the course that the ship should sail.
Yeah, the detail-oriented people that clean up the messes and keep they dot the I's, cross T's, that kind of thing.
And to
right?
do, and to, you lay out a vision, but somebody has to follow it and to make sure that the personnel was following the vision and all that. So, and similarly with Donald Trump, and I really have no good reason to say anything positive or negative about Jim Baker. I really had zero relationship with him. But same thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump set a course, and I think everybody agrees that the challenge he had in the initial stages, first 2 years of his administration, was the people he thought were going to follow the course because he was president and told them to, didn't do that. Many people in his administration thought their job was to make certain that the course wasn't followed, and as a result, some opportunities were missed. And it's my hope that that President Trump has learned from that and is going to, in the next administration, assuming we're fortunate enough for that to occur, he's going to be prepared with people who are working under him, who are going to grab an oar and paddle the ship in the same direction, the direction that he's pointing, which didn't happen the first administration.
Yeah. Now I know that there are Beltway talkers, and you know who I'm talking about, various people in the Beltway come out of there, that are always talking about people like Pompeo for vice president. Those are the same people that did not jibe with former President Trump when he was president. Wasn't that the case? The people that were in some ways subtly or not so subtly undermining his administration from behind the scenes. Is that fair, for me to think of them that way?
Yes, it's absolutely fair.
Okay, good. All right.
Heck, they've bragged about it, so I'm not saying anything out of school. In terms of Mike Pompeo, the challenge, he might be as good as you can get if somebody who's been, within the intel kind of walls,
right,
and knows where the bodies are buried. He might be as good as you can get, but the thing that just tells me he shouldn't be vice president is he was on the inside when all these intel people were just doing massive damage to Donald Trump, and I don't remember him standing up to them. I don't remember him exposing them. I don't remember him saying, wait a second, that's not true. I don't remember any of that. And he was in a position to do that. So, no, he's the wrong guy.
So when I hear these people out there calling for someone like a Mike Pompeo or to get Bolton back in the administration or various other things, these are people that are trying to put Trump on a leash again. They don't want Trump being Trump, do they? Really?
Well, anybody who's saying for John Bolton to be in the administration is pay attention. John Bolton's been attacking Donald Trump nonstop. And if you want continuation of the Biden foreign policy in terms of the endless war policy, let's put John Bolton in.
Yeah, well, let's put Nikki Haley in, for that matter, too.
Nikki Haley, John Bolton, that whole crew. Mm-hmm. I think the single most, and this isn't what we're going to talk about, but I'll just say, I think the single most important decision he's going to make in his administration, should he be fortunate enough to become president, will be who he decides it to be vice president. And we will learn an awful lot about that. If he picks somebody, let's say, and I don't want to disparage, let's say he picks Tim Scott.
He's not going to pick Tim Scott. He better not pick Tim Scott.
Well, I'm just telling you, when I talk to people, Tim Scott's one of the three people that gets talked about. So, you know, I'm not pulling his name out of the hat as somebody who's not being considered.
Okay.
If he picks Tim Scott, you know, what he's doing is he's basically saying, okay, I want somebody who has a good relationship with the Senate, but, you know, really isn't a Trump successor. I don't want somebody who might outshine me in the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, Ronald Reagan, for political reasons, but Ronald Reagan picked H.W. Bush, okay, George Herbert Walker Bush. Why did he pick him? Picked him for a lot of political reasons, but he also picked him because, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush didn't outshine Reagan. Okay.
He didn't what now? He didn't what?
When you're the star, when you're the leading man, you don't want a supporting actor outshining you.
Oh, yeah. And H.W. did not. H.W. did not.
And in politics, it's the same psychology that exists. And so, you know, Donald Trump picks Mike Pence, who, you know, may have done some things and been helpful and hurtful in a variety of different ways. But he was never going to outshine Donald Trump. Okay, he was never going to get out there and get out front and be the superstar on anything. And so, what Donald Trump's biggest challenge is to overcome that. You know, I must be the lead actor, and hire somebody to be VP who he can raise up to become the lead actor, the next generation. You know, you have to have, you know, in music. Yeah, the Rolling Stones and the music companies had Aerosmith 8 years later playing, basically being the Rolling Stones just from Boston.
Exactly, and a little younger, and, you know, that kind of thing.
And
all
so
right.
You have to see, so you have to have, you have to be able to do that. And his next VP choice is going to show if he can do that.
All right. So who are the people, the top picks right now? Tim Scott. Problem is, Tim Scott, you know, nice guy, but not much of an attack dog. And we could probably use another attack dog. You're there to fend off the inevitable incoming, but I could be wrong about that. Who else do you think is on that short list?
Kristi Noem is on the short list.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason I'm saying that is that she and Corey Lewandowski were carrying on this torrid affair for years, all hidden. We just don't need another one of those kind of distractions.
Don't need that drama.
Yeah, because you know, nobody cares about that in the Democratic Party until Kristi Noem becomes vice president, okay? Or wants to be vice president. And then it's going to be nothing but that. You know that.
No, they'll define her within the first 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Done.
Exactly.
The person who I'll just tell you who I think he should pick.
Who's that?
No, she's being quietly considered, even though she has said she doesn't want to do it. And that's Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Hmm. Well, she's certainly good at fending off the attack dog stuff. Okay.
Well, she's now a governor of Arkansas. She's doing some stuff in Arkansas. She has a little bit of a record, but most importantly, not just fending off attack dogs. She has been she's been through the crucible.
Mm-hmm.
She's had her dinner table attacked by crazy. She's been through all the stuff that is Trump.
She was smeared as press secretary, mercilessly barbecued there. So she gets it, right?
And so she gets it. She is a political person through and through. She's people might not have known about her until, you know, she was press secretary. But the truth of the matter is, she was intimately involved in her father's political activities since she was a little girl. And she's been, so she understands the fire, and she has principles. She has some core principles, which are important. And I think she's a person, given the fact, given her father's politics, that she's much more inclined to be in favor of Trump's trade policy and some things like that than other conventional Republicans. Because Mike Huckabee, one of the things he stood out from the crowd, beyond being a minister and an evangelical, but was also, he was pretty strong critic of our trade policies that were shipping jobs overseas. So you've got a, so I've got a sense that in her core, she has a lot more in common with Trump's basic instincts than many other people who might be considered.
And she's very strong, but probably wouldn't necessarily outshine the boss all the time, right? So that
she didn't outshine the boss when she was press secretary.
Exactly. And
so, and you have somebody like Elise Stefanik, who is who sits on Intel, House Intel Committee. And I was very skeptical of her. And I was asked Devin Nunes about this on a podcast I did with him. About 2 years ago. And Nunes just told me she, because of what happened, what she found, what she learned happened, what she saw in Intel, rather than becoming co-opted by the system, she became enraged at the system.
Interesting.
And it is why she's become such a, you know, taking on the court system in New York, you know, her state, about some of the unfairness of the Trump trials, the really going way out on a limb on some issues that a moderate Republican, you would never expect them to be out there. And so she made her bones as a moderate Republican and as an insider, former Paul Ryan staffer. And
we'll try not to hold it against her. All right.
Well, I mean, and for years I did. I mean, this is a big conversion because for three election cycles, I was looking for somebody to run against her in primaries. Okay. So that's kind of where I was coming from in terms of my skepticism. But everything I've seen in the last 3 to 4 years has been pretty darn impressive. So I don't think she's going to get there, but she's a name that kind of gets tossed around the periphery.
You would probably see her in the administration in one form or another for sure, right?
I think where she's best, she helps Trump best by being in Congress.
Oh.
And by being a, and by, and even though she is more liberal than I would like, and will have a hard time getting the votes, I can see Trump, if there was an empty speaker chair, giving her a big push toward the speakership.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that happening. And
yeah.
I don't know what that looks like. It could be she's very ambitious and she's playing everybody.
Who else is on the short list here for the VP?
Those are the three I've heard.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
And
now
so that's a right. Now there's a lot of people who are, you know, talked about, but in terms of people I've heard, those are the names. You know, when a guy named John McEntee, who was President Trump's personnel director for the last year, was on the air the other day, and essentially he speculated it'd probably be a woman, is what his speculation was.
I would agree.
And then immediately after saying it would probably be a woman, he mentioned Tim Scott. So I don't know what that means, but it's a, but that's his guess was with no Trump. I don't think Trump's sharing his thinking. So with no real insider knowledge, but just observing the process, was that it'll be a woman. I think I think a woman would be the right choice, assuming it's somebody who is
not Mike Pence. How about that? All right.
Well, not Mike Pence. It's somebody who actually shares common goals with Donald Trump. So if God forbid something happens, or you know you're running for a second hit for election in 2028. you're not running as a foreigner to the Trump agenda like George Bush ran as a foreigner to the Reagan agenda.
Indeed. All right. You know, that's a really good take on it. Good take on it, Rick. Rick Manning's president of Americans for Limited Government. You brought up the Speaker of the House here just a moment ago.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to ask for your take on the foreign aid bill, the $95 billion. All right. Just how compromised is Mike Johnson, is Speaker Johnson? Because I see nothing about that $95 billion, which has anything to do about benefiting the American people or its agenda. It was about the swampiest deal, and our Congress people going along with most of it, too. One of the swampiest deals ever. What is really going on here? Who does Mike Johnson really work for? Who do you think for?
Okay, I'm going to answer your question, but I don't know. I think he works for he's doing the best job he can under circumstance. But let me tell you what the actual situation was.
Okay.
The Biden bill, which was proposed, which was $106 billion, his emergency supplemental, was introduced by Democrats in the House. The Biden bill had a discharge petition, which is a petition that House members can bring up to bring a bill out of committee to be voted on up or down on the floor. The discharge petition had a lot of support. Mike Johnson was being told, if you don't figure out bring something up on the floor, particularly after October 7th and then the Iranian attack, the Iranian attack on
Israel.
Israel the other day, a couple weeks ago. He said, if you don't bring something up on the floor, Republicans are going to go sign the discharge petition. We're going to pass the Biden bill. So what does he do? He goes and he says, well, this bill, that bill's terrible. So he goes and he cuts $12 billion from that bill, cuts out a lot of fat, and then he can't get the votes on the Republican side to pass it. And because he can't get the votes on the Republican side to pass it, he has to get the votes from Democrats to pass it. What does that mean? Well, the Democrats say, well, we want humanitarian aid going through the USAID to help people in Gaza. That's what the Democrats insist on for their votes. So what happens? He's being told that a bill that already has the humanitarian aid in it is going to pass unless he does something. So what does he do? He cuts $12 billion out of the bill. He does the best, and he makes a very bad bill into just a bad bill, because that's the political position he found himself in. If you're the Republican Speaker and you don't have the votes in the Republican conference, you are at the mercy of whatever the Democrats say they want. There is no Republican Speaker right now. There's nobody who the Republicans can come up with who will have 200 a majority votes in the Republican House. There's nobody. It isn't a possible coalition, because my friends have decided that they want the wind in the stars, and aren't willing to get small victories, and it's a problem.
All right. Well, that's the reason I ask you. Because I'm still looking at this, though, of this have to do with us, though? Israel, not us. Ukraine, not us. Even Taiwan. Well, Taiwan, we at least have a treaty agreement to defend them. Okay.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, we have a Ukraine. This is one of the challenges of Ukraine that I've talked about from the very beginning. When Soviet Union fell, I have to go back to 1991, 1992. Soviet Union fell. A lot of their nuclear weapons were in Ukraine. Ukraine becomes an independent country, a very unstable independent country. Russia doesn't want their nuclear weapons in Ukraine because they might get pointed at Moscow, mm-hmm. most likely get pointed at Moscow. America doesn't want the nuclear weapons in Ukraine because they don't want a rogue government going around shooting nuclear weapons at people. So a deal gets made by George Herbert Walker Bush with Gorbachev and whoever the Ukrainian leader at the time was, where Ukraine would – all the nuclear weapons would be moved out of Ukraine and back to Russia. And the United States, the way Ukraine agrees to this, is the United States signs a memorandum of understanding, not a treaty, but a memorandum – basically an agreement that says if Russia attacks you, we're going to defend you. So that was the deal we made to get the nukes out of Ukraine, where they served a really, really big danger to the world.
Okay, so that's fine. Now, was that an agreement or a treaty?
It wasn't a treaty. It was an agreement.
Okay.
So that's a – but just understand, there's some level a moral – we made a handshake agreement that at some level you have to at least acknowledge exists.
But did we not also make the equivalent agreement with Russia that we were not going to try to push NATO into that area?
Yes, and that's where Joe Biden messed the whole thing up in 2014.
Okay. Yeah.
So actions have consequences. It's pretty clear that the United States supported the Russians win the presidential election in 2011, in Ukraine. The Ukrainian president, who was Russian-leaning in 2013-2014, signs an agreement, a trade agreement, with Russia and not with the EU, the European Union, putting his economic focus eastward rather than westward. A few months later, there's effectively a coup, and that guy steps down. A pro-Western president replaces him, who within 3 months signs trade agreement with the EU. Russia then says, and this is right after the Sochi Winter Olympics, immediately after everybody left Sochi from the Winter Olympics, Putin takes Crimea and says, "You broke your deal, so we're breaking ours. So he takes Crimea because he wants to control the Black Sea. And we've been in a war ever since. These things don't just happen. They have, and is Putin absolutely wrong? Yes. Is he violating Ukraine's borders? Yes. But did mistakes made in our foreign policy world
Help foment this or help usher this in? Yeah, it did.
Right. And that is true. So that's not defending Russia. It's merely recognizing that things don't happen in a vacuum.
All right. Rick.
I will tell you, my problem with Ukrainian aid is simple. It's very simple. The lesson from Vietnam is you don't get into wars when you don't have an exit strategy. And there is no exit strategy in Ukraine. We had today, I read that we now know that NATO countries have troops in Ukraine under their country's uniforms who are on the ground. That was reported. I read that today. I don't know if it's reported today. I read it today.
Yeah.
From a relatively credible source. And, and we continue saying we're going to put Ukraine into NATO.
And then we're looking at, and here it is, it's a tripwire for World War III, right?
And,
this is the tripwire.
And Joe Biden made a decision in February, which we just found about it now, to put longer range, give Ukraine the chance, because providing longer range missile capacity to hit Russian territory. And when the Russian airport was hit from Ukraine and around Moscow a few months ago, there were American guns being pulled by Ukrainian trigger, hands. Mm-hmm. And we supplied the ability for Ukraine to attack Russia. This thing is escalating out of control. And yes, it's a huge problem. And I don't know how to stop a bill when you've got 120 Republicans who are on the side of funding Ukraine and with no apparent plan to get out of it except for just to go forward. And it's inevitable if Joe Biden is elected president, just like Woodrow Wilson ran on 2014. I kept us out of the
This is reminding me of that same kind. It's rhyming. It's rhyming. Okay.
Rhyming.
You have to understand though, we little folks out here in the second district, Oregon second district congressional thing, we're just looking at a wide open border and we're drowning in fentanyl. Raving lunatic homeless, everywhere. A lot of it being on fentanyl. I'm talking to, I talk to friends of mine that have had two family members die of fentanyl. And I'm told we can't do anything about that because it's Joe Biden. And yet there's money for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And you can understand the just rage which is starting to build over these kind of things getting passed.
I agree.
Okay.
My job is to interpret why stuff happens, okay?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Mike Johnson had no choice because the bill was a much worse bill was going to pass, and so he made a much worse bill better. He tried to get the border funding in. It wasn't there was no ability to get that done on the Senate side, and quite honestly, the people and he couldn't get a majority vote. If he'd put border funding on the bill, he still needed Democrat votes because Republicans wouldn't vote for it. So consequently, the Democrats were able to veto the border funding. That's mm-hmm. what happened. That's what happens when you sit there and you draw hard lines in the sand. You say, I will not vote for this under any circumstance. At that point, there's no leverage to use to be able to get something in it you want. And that is the God's honest truth. And if we don't figure out how to leverage bad bills and appropriations bills to have some things in them that we want in order to affect passage, you know, we've got to just figure out how to be actual smarter politicians. And it frustrates. I some days at work, I'm just screaming at the walls.
I know. I get it. It's why I wanted to ask you about this, because I'm just trying to put to you the rage that I get on my incoming emails, and I understand where they're coming from. Who are these people working for?
I get the same exact thing. And you talk to people every single day who sit there and ask Bill, what's going on? How is this so messed up? And the single thing people have to remember, it's only one rule in the House. And I said this, I think, last weekend when I got swampy. You have to have 218 votes to do anything. And if one side is fragmented because you have to put funding for Ukraine in order to get one section of the caucus to vote for it, and you have to have border funding to have another piece of the caucus to vote for it, but the border funding people won't vote for the Ukraine funding, at that point, to get to 218, you have to go a different direction.
All right. That's why
we have to figure out the rule of 218.
Okay.
If you don't figure that out, we're inert.
Rick, thank you, because it's frustrating, but I wanted people to understand this because the rage is palpable about what's been going on with that foreign aid bill.
I share it.
Very good. Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Go there. A lot of good analysis, cartoons to share, people to support, and just good journalism going on there, too. Rick, thank you. Great explanation on what happened, okay? Thank you.
Appreciate it. Take care, man.
All right. Thank you.